In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. I'm telling you that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You were ransomed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. He's at the Father's right hand, and he's praying for you. Do you know that today? I'm telling you that you don't have to be afraid. It tells us in the Bible 365 times, fear not. You don't have to be afraid. Are not several birds sold for a couple of pennies? And your Father knows when one falls to the ground. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. You don't have to be afraid. You're more important than birds. You were ransomed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm reading the 17th chapter of Matthew, verse 14. What happened is Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and he meets some boy who has a demon. When they came to the crowd, a man came to him, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible for you." Let me just tell you this in an instant, that Jesus means what he says and says what he means. I had epilepsy when I was a young boy, and I'm going to tell you, I was cured of it through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You might not believe that, but I believe it. And I remember a young baby, Christina. Christine was very sick. She wasn't a baby. She was a young girl. She was maybe 5 or 6. And she was taking seizure after seizure after seizure, that they put a helmet on her head. And it was the 31st of October. And I was on the radio, and I just came against this epilepsy. It wasn't a demon. It was a sickness. And she never took another seizure again. Why? Because God hears and answers prayer. As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised." And they were greatly distressed. You see, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah told Jesus about his departure into Jerusalem. That what? That he was going to be betrayed into the hands of the elders, and that they would kill him. But on the third day he will be raised from the dead. And they were greatly distressed. They want to erect a tent. Let's have a tent. Let's have a tent meeting. Let's continue to heal the sick and make vision for the blind and hearing for the deaf and cleansing for the leper. But Jesus knew that he had to go to the cross in order to do the greatest thing that he ever did, and that is to forgive us our sins through the power of his precious blood. You see, Jesus just told them what was told to him on the Mount of Transfiguration. that Jesus would suffer at the hands of the elders, but he'd be raised up on the third day, and that they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it. Well, you know what? It happened anyway. When they reached Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes, he does." And when he came home, Jesus spoke of it first and asking, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tribute? From their children or from others?" When Peter said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the children are free. However, so that we do not give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook. Take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a coin. Take that and give it to them for you and for me." I tell you, that's a miracle. Jesus knew exactly that that fish was going to bite the hook, and he knew that fish had enough money in it to pay for the tax for Jesus and for Peter. This is a miracle. This is a miracle. I tell you, we need miracles today. We need miracles today. We need to see the move of God. We need to see the power of God on people's faces, yes. We need miracles today. And it comes to those who have faith, those who believe. I tell you, the other day I was praying for somebody, and I felt this heat on my neck, like in a little round spot. And I prayed with this person. It wasn't about her neck, it was about something else, her hand. And you know what happened? She was completely healed. The Lord knows how to do things. We just need to be attentive to him and to the Holy Spirit. Chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." A child had no status in the time of Jesus. And he's saying, you know, I don't want you to have any status other than that you belong to me. That you belong to me. You know, we look in our own lives, you know, we want to be, climb the ladder of success, and there's nothing wrong with that. But unless we become little children, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Ah, isn't that wonderful? If you welcome a child in the name of Jesus, you welcome Jesus. Temptations to sin. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones, the people of faith, who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned into the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. We don't want to put a stumbling block in front of anybody. We want to tell them the truth about how they are loved and how Jesus has a plan for their life. We do not want to put a stumbling block before children or the disciples. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands and two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. Jesus is not saying cut your hands off. He's saying it would be better for you to cut your hands off if you don't sin. So we need to see that. The parable of the lost sheep. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones. This is the disciples. For I tell you, in heaven the angels continually see the face of the Father in heaven. Do you know that right now your guardian angel is looking at the face of the Heavenly Father? You're one of the little ones. You're one. I am too. I might have a big body, but I'm one of the little ones. And thy angel, my guardian angel, is looking in the face of the Heavenly Father. Yours too. If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that has gone astray? I tell you, the church needs to be looking for those people that Jesus came to deliver from sin and to make them his children. That's what the church needs to be looking to, that he came to seek and save that which was lost. And we need to do the same thing, to seek and save that which was lost. And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. God doesn't want to see anyone lost. How do you keep from being lost? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You won't get lost. If another member of the church sins against you, go point out the fault when the two of you are alone. In other words, go and tell the person that offended you and you want to accept his apology. If a member listens to you, you have regained the friend. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such one be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Are you gathered together now in the name of Jesus? I am. I'm gathered in the name of Jesus. Well, you know, I'm not with you, but I am with you in spirit. What do you need? What do you need? Tell the Lord what you need. Now, two of us are going to agree in what you need. I agree with these people what they need. I agree with them, and I ask you, Lord, to heal them and to forgive them and to make them shine like the sun. I ask this in Jesus' name. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. Jesus is with you right now, and he is doing for you what you need to be done. Forgiveness. When Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times seven. You have to forgive him. 77 times seven. In other words, you always have to forgive. Always have to forgive. You know, we're very sensitive people, and we need to forgive people that have hurt us. Even if they didn't desire to hurt us, we were hurt. We need to forgive people. Oh yes, it's always good to forgive people and to set them free. I don't want to hold anyone from the presence of God. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents, that's a lot, was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and his possessions, and payment would be made. So the slave fell on his knees before the master, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of the slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then the fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw himself into the prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw this, what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported this to their lord, all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to the torturers until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. You know, the only way we can forgive is we will it. Doesn't mean that we feel it, but that we will it. We do not want to hold anyone from God. And many people have hurt us, yes. And you know what? We've hurt many people. That's just the way it is. We need to ask forgiveness, and we need to forgive people who have hurt us. Even unintentionally, people who have hurt us. Like, I remember being at a picnic with people that were part of the Senegal group, and they never acknowledged me as being in the seminary, and I felt bad. You know what? I forgive them. I forgive them. They didn't try to hurt me, but they didn't acknowledge that I was in the seminary, and I felt alone. I felt very alone. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he cured them there. Why? Why large crowds? Because Jesus Christ is the healer and the deliverer. Remember what we said, that healing and deliverance is the food of the children that belong to God, that belong to Jesus. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that one made them, that the one God made them one at the beginning? He made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command us to give a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her?" He said to them, "It was because of your hardness of heart that Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife and marries another except for unchastity, and marries another, commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "If such is the case for a man and his wife, it is better for him not to marry." But he said to them, "Not everyone can accept this teaching, and only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been made so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves into eunuchs by others, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let anyone accept this who can." Marriage is sacred. It's a sacrament. Marriage is a sacrament. And I'm telling you that from the love of a husband for a wife and a wife for a husband shows the love of Jesus Christ. Marriage is the sign of heaven, that God is in love with us. It's not the priesthood, it's marriage. Marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman that give themselves to each other until death, in the name of Jesus. Jesus blesses the little children. Then little children were being brought to him in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them, But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is such that of these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid hands on them and went his way. You know, it's like that in the Holy Land or in poor countries. The children just kind of rush to the people on the bus. They're looking for money. And Jesus said, what? "Let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Do you know that? That again, the Lord wants you to be like a little child. Do you know that today? That God has plans for you. Do you know that today? That Jesus blesses the little children. As a matter of fact, we are all little children. You might be 95, but you're a little child as compared to God. And you need his mercy, and I need his mercy. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. That's the Father." Jesus emptied himself and took the form of a slave, and so he's not counting himself as good. He is good, but he emptied himself of the divinity so that he became a slave. So the only one that's good, Jesus said, is the Father. "If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to them, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother also. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him proudly, I'm thinking, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Then the disciples heard this, and they were greatly astounded and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." I'm not talking against riches. I'm not talking against riches. Our riches need to be used for the kingdom of God, at least a tenth. And if you start giving a tenth, you increase it to be more than a tenth, maybe a 15th, two tenths. Yeah, I don't know how much. I know how much I give, and I know it's much more than a tenth. Why do I give it? Because Jesus promised me that give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and jumps and coming over into your lap. And Jesus promises me that if I give, I will receive, that the gates of heaven will be open, and the glory of God will fall upon me, and I will have true riches in heaven. The scripture talks more about money than it talks about heaven. Do you know that today? We need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. And if you can, go on inseason.net and go to PayPal, and please leave something so that we can pay our bills. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary is not the mother of the Father. Mary is the mother of Jesus, who is God. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Are you a lost sheep? Well, Jesus wants to come and save you. The only thing you need to do is say, "Oh Lord Jesus, I need you. Come and save me." Are you a lost sheep? Jesus is looking for you. He looks for those that are lost. He wants to bring them into the kingdom of heaven. If you're a lost sheep, just say, "Jesus, deliver me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, I come to you. Be my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, forgive me." Are you a lost sheep? You don't need to be. But you, if you are, the Lord is looking for you. He's looking for you. He left the 99 to find you. You are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.